Greetings in Jesus' name. Our Savior, who's coming again. And I believe the time is drawing nigh for the return of our Lord. The message for this morning is something that I've been thinking about a lot, and also a question that I frequently get asked. Something that I've been thinking a lot of is growing older in years. And the other one is a question that appears that I look older than what I think to be. And that is coming from people maybe more out on the job site. When they ask me, "Are you still working every day?" And when are you going to retire? These some of the things that I've been thinking about. I'm very thankful for an employer who understands getting older in years and giving me maybe a bit more of a break. But regardless of our age, we're all journeying to a place which the Lord said, "I will give it to you." Each of us here are in a different stage of life. And we don't always understand the flow of time and how quickly it passes by. And soon we begin to understand that we're older. And where have the years all gone? Something that I thought about recently, and it's almost mind-boggling, but my father passed away in 1990. My father-in-law passed away in 1992. And I happened to think about that anyone who would remember my father or my father-in-law would now have to be about 50 years old to know anything about them, unless other than by hearsay. And again, it's just a reminder as to how fast time goes. As God's people, we face life differently than the ungodly. Turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes. Beginning in verse 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again unto according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yea, the sea is not full, unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor, man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Now, we realize that what we have read here has continued on from the beginning of time till now, and I believe will continue until the return of our Lord. Now, the writer here, he begins with a negative statement in verse 2, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. The question in verse 3 is, what profit hath a man for all his labor which he taketh under the sun? And I believe it is here to be understood that life apart from God is really all vanity. Those that do not know God, they have different interests, their pursuits are different, and even as they look ahead, their desires for their older years are different. And I would say primarily as they live life and look toward their older years, it is primarily about themselves. But for the Christian, it should be all about the kingdom of God and how we can bring glory to his name. Now, we believe that work is a part of God's plan for our lives. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 9, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. And then Solomon also had a clear understanding of this truth in Ecclesiastes 2:24, where he says, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. But may I add, God never meant for our work to become the center of our lives. That place belongs to him. The Bible says, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Colossians 3:23. I was preparing for this message. I thought of a man years ago, a dear brother, who showed forth a great example of how that we should relate to our work. And I think I can just say his name, that way you don't wonder, Brother Ben Smucker. It was years ago that I was laying vinyl in a house where he was the contractor. And this lady, needless to say, was very, very difficult to work with. In fact, she caused Brother Ben a lot of grief. I laid the vinyl in that house, and the piece of vinyl that I laid was like 20 feet long, and I wanted to do it all in one piece. Went back the hallway, the kitchen, dining room, and then also into a bathroom. And it took quite a bit of time. Well, it wasn't long after that the one that I was installing for, he gets a call and said, there's something wrong with this piece of vinyl. And so he went to look at it and couldn't really see anything, but the lady said that there's a defect in the material. And if the sun shines on it just right, there's a little bit of a milky substance goes right down through the center, which was true. Walking into the house, you would never see it. And so she wanted that tore out and replaced. Well, if any of you have any experience on tearing out vinyl, you know the work that all goes into that. But we did that. Tore the vinyl out, replaced it, and wasn't long after that there was something else wrong. I'm not sure what it was. Seems the color was a bit different than what she had gotten the first time, and again wanted it tore out and replaced. And remember asking Brother Ben, how can you put up with something like this? A lot of people would have walked away from it. Brother Ben made the remark, he said, well, something to the effect, she needs the Lord, and I want to be a witness for him. He had work in its proper perspective. But you know, thinking of work, our bodies age, and we soon discover we can't quite do what we once were able to do. The mind would like to convince us that we can still do it, but the body doesn't quite function with the mind's thinking sometimes. And seems we need to rest more often. And I enjoy telling our young grandchildren, and they look at me a little strange when I say this. I said, you know what is really fun? Is taking a nap. And it seems the older you get, the more you appreciate that time when you can just rest a bit. Like the words of Jesus in Mark 6, verse 31, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Our times of refreshing with God and his word can become more precious. We cannot be our best if we are running on empty physically and spiritually. Now, the question concerning retirement, the word retirement as we use it is to refer to quitting in old age. That didn't exist until early in the 20th century AD. After the economic depression in 1929, Social Security was introduced, and retirement plans and pensions came into existence. Previous to that, people worked as long as they were physically able. And I think it's good for us that we should even view retirement different than society. Our roles in life will change as we grow older, but I don't think we should retire from life. Sometimes fathers may change vocations because they're no longer able to handle the demands as a farmer or a construction worker, a mechanic, electrician, plumber, etc. Or they may move to a less demanding position to allow a younger person to have job opportunities. Mothers' roles may change from caring for a family to being an advisor, an encourager, or a helper as her children begin homes of their own. And as we face these changes that life brings on, the question comes to us, how will I cope with the changes that come? And I think it's well for us to consider this before the time comes. Finding yourself in a position with fewer responsibilities and adequate finances may bring with it the temptation to please ourselves, rather than becoming self-centered and displeasing to God. Our lives must be service-oriented. We need to continue practicing the words of Jesus in Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We also need to learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that we be not unfruitful. Timothy 3, verse 14. And let ours And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. As we grow older, there can be feelings of loneliness, loss of purpose, sometimes depression wants to settle in. We can also have the feelings of worthlessness or anxiety, fear of the future, and a host of other emotions that can be common as changes occur because of our age or other factors. But instead of feeling frustrated and resentful, we should thank God for the abilities that we do have. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We are responsible to do the best we can with the best that we have for as long as we are able. And I believe to finish our course with joy, we must lean even more heavily on the promises of God. In reality, there are probably few people who enjoy growing older. The tendency is to wish we could still do the things that we always did, wishing not to face the infirmities and the uncertainties of old age. But we should not resent growing old, because many do not have that privilege. If God allows us to live for many years, he surely has a purpose for us. The negative side of old age is not hidden in the Bible. But Solomon, in Ecclesiastes 12, verses 1 through 5, encourages us to turn to God in our youth before the days come when we no longer can enjoy life. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and the desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about in the streets. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And it was a blessing to hear one of our youth give the devotional this morning. Brother Keith, in our Sunday school class, encouraged the youth to stand strong in the Lord, for they are the next generation, and we that are older will soon pass off the scene. And so it is encouraging when we see our youth take hold of things that are godly. Verses 2 through 5 gives expressions, describe the realities of aging's toll on our mind and bodies, declining strength, failing vision, trembling hands, dealing with arthritis, forgetfulness, loss of hearing, loneliness, fear of increasing frailty, And the list seems endless. If you look at that just alone, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Is that all there is to getting older? Only a cruel burden that grows heavier as the years go by, or is there more? Well, I praise God this morning that the Bible teaches that old age can be fulfilling. The psalmist entreated the Lord for blessings on a most noble task when he asked, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is come." Psalm 71, verse 18. And then Psalm 92, verses 13 through 15 is very encouraging. "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be flat, fat, and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Now, for the elderly folk here, there is much that you can do. There is something that you can do. And that is to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Now, for the elderly folk, we know that they have weathered the storms of life up until this point. They have gone through experiences that were not always easy, but they stood upright through them all. And I believe as elderly folk continue to do that, it is encouragement to younger folks, younger people, to help them also see the importance of standing strong in the Lord. He is upright. He is my rock. And when you see older people having that foundation upon their lives, it is a blessing, something that you can do to show forth that the Lord is upright. The psalmist also prayed, "Do not forsake me when my strength fails." The psalmist knew the faithfulness of God through his younger years, and now asked that God continue that faithfulness in his old age. And as his strength fails, he knew with a lot of older folk even here today that our strength diminishes with old age. But the blessing that we can experience is that God's strength does not. "I will go in the strength of the Lord God." Looking forward, the psalmist was confident in God's strength, despite the sense of diminished personal strength when advancing years. Turn with me to Psalm 71. It's just a blessed psalm. Begin reading in verse 1. "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels, and my praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with the honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. The Bible gives us accounts of older saints in the past and their faithfulness through the years. And especially in their old age is what stood out as I looked at some of these. Abraham was 75 years old when God asked him to leave his homeland. He was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. Moses was 80 years old when God asked him to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt to the land of Canaan. And he served till he was 120 years old. Joshua was 80 years old when he took over the leadership of Israel and served till he was 110 years old. Zacharias and Elizabeth were old when they were giving a son, John the Baptist. Anna was a widow, 84 years old, when she recognized the infant Jesus in the temple and gave thanks unto the Lord. And Paul refers to himself in Philemon 9 as Paul the aged. And at that time, he was a prisoner with hope of being released so that he could continue preaching the gospel. As 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 indicates, it is possible to be outwardly wasting away, yet inwardly renewed day by day. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, the psalmist did not only speak of the loss of physical and mental strength, but also the potential loss of spiritual strength. You know, not every believer who starts well finishes well. And some stray from the Lord in their older years. The Bible is filled with examples of those who sinned or fell away in their older years. And so this should be a warning to us. David sinned against Bathsheba and her husband Uriah in his mature years. Solomon was drawn away to idolatry in his later years. King Asa's trust in God greatly declined in his later years. And there could be more that we could notice. But I'd like to focus on characteristics of growing older. You remember what Brother Linford shared with us here this morning. Characteristics of people growing older gracefully. They are a thankful people. Their conversation is often marked with appreciation for what family does for them, for what the church means to them. Giving thanks always for all things. This is a testimony of their life. Also, I believe they are interested in the younger generation. Their desire is to see them prosper. Their desire is to see them become a blessing in the church and to the community in which they live. Change is not their enemy, but their friend. Another characteristic is that they endeavor to, as much as possible, keep their minds sharp. Not only live in yesterday, but live in the present today, and being appreciative of even the health and the sound mind that you do have. They look at life from the large viewpoint and resist panic when alarming events appear in the headlines, believing God is in control. They do not retire. They may slow down and discontinue a job, but they still live with a mission. They are servants and realize it is not important if they are not recognized or not. They have more time available to spend in prayer and interceding for others. And many times behind the scenes, many times when people don't even think about the important work and prayer life of our elderly. Another characteristic, they are not afraid to die. And because they understand the words of Paul in Philippians 1, verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Never in history have a people lived with such advanced technology in the medical field. Physical life can now be extended by months and years, even at the expense of depleted finances and also quality of life. And this forces us to take a new look at priorities and our desire to be at home in heaven. Our goal needs to harmonize with the apostle in Philippians 1, verse 23, and realize it is far better to depart and to be with Christ. And in the words of Jesus, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also." So as you think of getting older, personally, I don't think it's something that we need to dread. I think it's something that we can look forward to. Because the older we get, we all know the nearer our time is to depart from this life. As we journey toward our heavenly home, let us pray with the psalmist. "Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." Always keep in mind, we are homeward bound to meet our Savior and to see Him face to face. And the place we are going has no canes, has no walkers, or wheelchairs. Neither will our bodies age, and there will be no retirement plans. And we praise God from whom all blessings flow. Shall we kneel for prayer?